लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Today we go back to Atlanta, where I was with Thomas King. I'm going back to another actor in Atlanta. He is kind of special because he also did some ballet, and I saw him always as a villain, to be honest. I'm thinking about if I ever saw him as a good guy, but not at the moment. So I'm asking him now if he can be a good guy, and we will see where it ends. So I'm sending a lot of greetings to Atlanta and say hello to Patrick Paulkins. Hello, welcome into my podcast.
Hi, I'm happy to be here.
Have you ever been a good one?
A good guy in acting or in real life?
In verticals.
In vertical. I don't know if they write good guys in verticals. I feel like every guy that they ask me to play is always just a little bit bad.
I can't remember any vertical I saw with you where you were totally nice. Isn't that your natural, or why didn't you get offered some really total nice roles?
I don't know. I look like this most of the time. I'm usually pretty happy and usually pretty smiling. But I guess there's a side of me that can seem very, very mean. And
you have a mean aura or what?
I'm going to have to ask you guys, because I must have something mean if they keep asking me to do these things, these, you know, leads that are a little bit.
Yeah, but to be honest, I cannot imagine you as a sugarcoating guy. That won't fit you.
I was really close once to playing sort of that all-around nice guy who's kind of chasing one of these vertical leads, one of these girls, and he butts heads with the lead guy, who's some sort of mafia boss. And they had to replace an actor like 4 or 5 days before the shoot, and they replaced him with me. They moved me from nice guy to mafia boss. So the one time I was close.
You were close, but
that ends up like mafia boss anyway. And I had a very nice other guy named Marshall, who I really enjoy. He's a great dude, but he's like the nice guy. And he came in and I had to, you know, put a gun in his face and punch him and do all the this mean guy thing.
But be honest, which role felt more comfortable?
I mean, the mafia boss thing.
You enjoy being kind of mean sometimes in verticals?
Maybe. Maybe. It's fun. It's certainly fun to, like, I like stunts, so I get a chance to do a lot more stunt work when you're the mean guy and you play the mafia boss. You get to do a lot of...
Do you all by yourself stunts?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's one of those things that, like, that was part of why I became an actor, because I like... To me, it's almost like the cross section of the dancing and the acting. Is the stunt part of it is the physical part that is the dancing that I did for so many years. Because when you're doing stunts, you have to be in control of your body.
Yeah.
It's the only way that you don't hurt other people. You know, you can't just wildly throw punches because that's how you end up punching someone in the face. So the body control part from ballet and dance helps me be safe when I do those stunts. And so those are always really fun for me. And then when you get to be a mafia boss, usually you get to kick, punch, throw people around. It's a good time. I love it.
Would you love to play lovey-dovey good guy?
I mean, I'm an actor, so I want to be able to do anything and do all kinds of different things. I've been doing a lot of that, like, cold, mean guy thing lately. So it would be nice to maybe do something a little more lovey-dovey and a little nicer. But, yeah, I would like to do that, maybe, too.
Are you the type of a role character who likes suits or not?
Oh,
or not?
Suits. Oh.
Okay, not. Okay, I got it.
I've worn so many. So many.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I mean, in my personal life, I have suits and I love getting dressed up and putting one on and I like the way it feels. You know, I feel a certain way in a suit versus something else. But when you film these verticals, you know that they're fat, they're very fast and you're changing quite a lot every day. And when I am changing from one full suit to another full suit plus a microphone and a cord and all of that, it's a lot of pieces. Sometimes I'm the one who takes longer to change than my leading lady because she just has a dress from one dress to another dress and it's easy. And I've got a three-piece suit on and I've got to put on another three-piece suit and a tie and all of this. So I love the way they look and they feel, but I'd like to wear something. When they go, you can take the jacket off. I'm like, oh. We're more chill. But most of the time, yeah, I'm in a suit for everything. Ugh.
How did you get into acting? I think you said you did ballet for so long. Other question, what was your dream job as a kid? Was it always to be some kind of artist?
No, it wasn't. I come from a dancing family. My mom owns a dance studio.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always a part of our lives to dance. My mom has done it her whole life, and so have all of my...
Ballet directly or any type of dance?
Jazz.
Okay.
She was an old school jazz dancer. Like, she used to dance in Las Vegas. She was a showgirl in Las Vegas. So she had a very traditional American jazz kind of style of teaching. So that's what we grew up doing. I didn't do ballet until I was 16. I was very late.
16?
Yeah. I was a complete, you know, which was very helpful for me because I avoided a lot of injuries because my joints were fully developed by the time I started doing ballet. I think that's the problem for a lot of people when they start young, is they start young and their bodies aren't quite solid yet. And so it developed some things, some weaknesses. Luckily, I was, you know, already dancing and an athlete by 16. So I think I avoided some health issues with my knees and my joint. But I was originally, I was going to go into law enforcement. I was going to kind of be a police officer, was initially what I wanted to do as a kid. Like, if you would have asked me, like, 13-year-old me, my father was in the army. He was and then he worked as an EMT, you know, in an ambulance for years. And I always kind of looked up to the way he handled, you know, we were driving on a highway and saw a car flip. And my dad was retired at that point in time, but we were going to a theme park, but we stopped. He got out, he helped, you know, he's helping pull people from a car. There's a woman who had a 1-year-old in the back who was in a car seat. And it was kind of scary. But again, I just watched my dad go help people. And I had a similar thought about, well, something that I would like to do for a living. So I was going to actually go join the army and then after the army go to law enforcement and work as a police officer. But things change. And I ended up, you know, finding out that I had a future in the arts as a dancer and kind of an athlete. So I went that route.
And why ballet? How did you get to ballet?
I had a friend who was working, who I used to dance with, who used to do jazz competitions with. Her name was Taylor. And she and I were partners for a long time, ever since we were really little. And eventually she moved to another town and she joined a ballet studio. And we went to visit to see her dance. And I met the director of the school. And they're always trying to get guys to come to ballet school. It's very hard in America to get, you know.
Here also.
It's a struggle. It's just not as ingrained anymore. It doesn't have the same value. So it's hard to get young guys. I mean, I was playing sports. I was playing basketball and soccer and running track, like most American boys do. So they asked, do you want to come to ballet school? You know, we'll get you, you'll have a scholarship. And I thought, I'm going to go hang out with Taylor. She was a friend of mine. And so I went, and I had really tough teachers, but I don't know, I found something in ballet that was really, it was so hard. It was so difficult. But I don't know, something about the music, something about that connection, about how difficult it was from a physical aspect. I thought the challenge was an exciting challenge. I also love classical music, so it was a great joy to be dancing to such great music. And a combination of those things made me think like, oh, wow, this could maybe be, this was really, I loved the feeling of being on stage with that kind of, the structure of classical ballet also was something that drew me to it. So I got to go to the National Ballet School in Santiago in Chile when I was 16. And I got to stand on an 18th century opera house stage down there. It was gigantic, and there's five floors of red velvet and statues and a fresco, and it's a huge opera house. And that was where I fell in love with like doing ballet, because I was in a foreign country and I was on this giant stage, and I thought, okay, yeah, I'll do this. This is awesome. And that was where it like began. So a long answer to a short question.
How long did you do ballet?
Professionally, 17 years.
And what stopped it?
Acting.
So, ballet didn't give you the feeling anymore?
No. Ballet, my love for ballet was killed by the business of ballet.
Okay.
I was, you know, in good companies and doing interesting things, but, you know, similar to, unlike, and sort of like the acting world, you have little control over what you get to do, mm-hmm. what you get to perform. I don't get to choose. That's the artistic director's job. You have very little agency. And as I was getting older, there were things I did and didn't want to do, and places I want to put my energy and not, and you have no say. You sign a contract, they're going to do these five ballets a year, and you don't get to pick. And there was a ceiling that I hit in my career where I had all of these accomplishments and all of this experience and talent. And I was in the best physical shape I was in, and none of it mattered. I still couldn't choose a damn thing.
Okay.
And that, for me, like, I just got to a point, I was like, it's too much to take. I'm out. I'm going to try to find a way to get out of this job. And at the same time, I discovered acting, and acting has a different mentality. They want your opinion. They want to know, how do you think about the part? What do you think in it? And so the agency for acting, I was a puppet. Kind of, it felt like I was a puppet and no one cared about what I thought in ballet, and is the complete 180 for acting. So I went right after acting as much as I could. And that was probably 2 or 3 years ago.
Do you miss ballet sometimes?
Yeah.
The discipline and stuff like that?
No. Discipline is the part that sucks, because that's the part that says you have to do this even though it hurts. You have to do this even though you don't want to. That I don't miss. I miss when the discipline comes together and you're in great physical shape, because the thing I loved about ballet is there is a feeling when you are strong and you're in the right condition and you're nailing what you're supposed to be doing, your body, it feels good to fly through the air. It feels good to turn with this like speed and control. All that makes you feel kind of like more than just a man, kind of a thing. I know it seems a little bit poetic, but I always felt really strong and really like, I felt otherworldly sometimes when I would dance, and that sort of feeling, I miss that, because you can't get that anywhere else.
And what kind of feeling gives you acting now that attracts you to it?
Now it's like when they call action and you're really so prepared that you are, everything else goes away and you're just there, just with that other person. Like sometimes I don't see the cameras, I don't see the grips and the light. You're just seeing the other person, you're just doing the scene, you're that focused. That's a different sort of feeling that that is consuming. You're like, oh wow, I'm only here with you, and I don't think about anything else. And that I think I love about acting.
When did you start your acting stuff exactly? And how did you get into it? I mean, you got the decision, okay, I don't want to do the ballet anymore, but is it easy to switch into acting? Or was there a point when you thought, okay, maybe I should think about going to the police and try to do the police officer stuff? Or
I never had that thought. I feel like that passed me. I'd have to go to college.
Okay.
But I started originally my acting. I did a little bit as a kid. And when I was very, very, I was like, I think maybe 14 years old. I started.
14 years old, I was.
Yeah. In school theater, there's an acting school that's nearby my hometown in Montana. And I did some in high school. So I had some training there. And then I stopped and did, you know, 20 years worth of ballet. But during the pandemic, I got hurt. I had an injury. And I thought about switching. And I thought, well, I should study. Like really, really study acting. And I started doing my own sort of studying when I was off during the pandemic. And that was the beginning of like, oh, how did I get into acting? I started auditioning and you just have no luck. At that, also the pandemic, nothing was filming. So I wasn't going to get a job anyway, which just meant that I had more time to read and to study and to sort of pursue this sort of history and background of acting. But it took me almost 5 years to get out of the dance world and into the acting world. Like it took me quite some time to transition from one to the other.
How did you keep your motivation up for that?
I have, my mom is very supportive of any of the endeavors that I have. And at the time, the person I was dating was also very, very supportive of sort of like that. Like I had a lot of people who had faith that I could succeed.
Okay, that's good.
And that was like all I needed was that. My mom to be like, oh, I was watching TV today and I had thought, oh, Pat could do that. You know, and she's calling me on a Tuesday. She's like, oh, I'm watching Lifetime. You could be in any one of these movies. You know, you should go audition for Lifetime. So when she tells me that and I'm not feeling good about myself, I go, okay, well, at least my mom likes me.
It's her job.
That's all I mean. Yeah, it's her job. She does a very good job. So I would.
How was the reaction of your mom when she can watch or when she could watch your first project filmed?
She's watched a couple. She's watched one or two.
And what was the feedback of your mom?
My mom is she grew up watching like soap operas, like The Young and the Restless and As the World Turns and stuff. So she's not fazed by anything that goes on in those verticals. She's like, yeah, it's a soap opera. It's very normal. So she's not like clutching her pearls or anything like that.
Isn't she the kind of person to her friend, look, that's my son. That's my son.
I don't know. My dad is like that. My dad is like, oh, this is my son. He's like, oh, my son does ballet. My son's an actor. He does that. My mom is a little bit less like, oh, my. I think she's kind of like, yeah, I knew they were always going to be like that. She's like, yeah, he's in movies now.
I said it. You will make it.
That's like, yeah, she's very matter of fact of like, oh, with other people. With me, she's like, I can't wait. But with other people, she's like, yeah, Pat's in movies now. Like, she's.
That's sweet.
There's a relaxed nature around it, which is great. I think she just, with Vertical, she's just like, yeah, you look really handsome in there. See, I always told you could be in it. She's like, you just look really nice. I'm like, oh, thanks. Well. Then we go talk about something else.
That's so sweet. You know, when you had your first vertical done, what were your first thoughts? Did you thought, what the heck was that? Or did you thought, okay, kind of weird with all this pace in it, but I think I could like that.
It's almost like my first three, because my first one was so close to the second one and the third one that I did. I think I did one. I had maybe a week and I did another one, maybe a week and a half. I did another one. And between the second and the third one was 2 days, maybe three.
Okay.
So like they are one big chunk. I did my first one and I was like, great. this was wild, and they treated me so well. That's awesome. This is an insane experience. And then like a day later, they're like, we want you to do another one, but come and do it in Los Angeles. And I was like, oh my, like, should I do it? Should I go do it? And I'm talking to a girlfriend at the time. She was like, of course, they're flying you to LA. Go, like, go do it. And I just floored. I went and did that, and it was different but fun. And then the third one, I was like reading the script on the plane. Okay. Another one in Atlanta. And I was really like, is this how it's going to be? Like, this is insane. And by the time the third one was done, I was like dead tired. And I really was happy for the break. I had like 3 weeks off after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed the break, but
to resort everything that happened?
Yeah, those three. I mean, I thought the first thing I thought after all of it was like, yeah, I can do this. Like, because I had worked for a really long time and auditioned a lot and got to be in front of the camera very little.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do three verticals in like a month and a half. And I was the lead in all of them. So I was in front of the camera all day, every day for like 3 weeks. And whatever faith I didn't have in my ability to like be an actor, like I didn't worry about it anymore. I was like, oh yeah. I can do this job. I need a chance. I need an opportunity. And I need to always be getting better. But I had less self-doubt, which was the best gift that verticals had given me.
That's great. How did you do all the text memorizing? Was it easy or not?
Not hard for me. Like some people, I've always been that way. When I was little and I was first starting to learn a monologue, my first monologue was like, I was really nervous, it was really long. And I remember I was like, I don't know what else to do. How do I memorize it? And I started reading it. And then there was just a moment where I was like 13. Or a moment where when I was reading it, my brain was telling me like what was coming next before I got there. And I was like, oh, do I know this? Like, oh, I remember it. That's it. I just need to read it a bit. And then eventually my brain will just sort of be ahead of me. So the text memory, like I'll do it the night before if I can, but like I can memorize scene the morning of in the makeup chair. I don't advise it. I try not to do it very often, but the memorizing is not always the hardest part. The hardest part is like being, you know, you've got to be serious at 6 in the morning and be.
You're not the morning type.
No. Sometimes movies can suck because you're up at 5 a.m. to start work, but.
Yeah. What do you do when you have a days off to recharge after so exhausting filming?
I'd still play a lot of video games.
Mm-hmm.
Fun. That's a good thing for when I'm off is like I can play video games and sort of escape. I read a lot. I mean, I like football.
Yeah, can see.
So there's a bunch of football games on today. I'll sit and watch football and I'm going to probably make wings later and do some cooking, maybe make some chili. And like, just,
are you a good cooker?
Things that,
what's the definition? Okay. Do you know more than cooking noodles in water?
Yeah, I'm better than at boiling, just boiling water. Like I can,
that's good. That's,
I know how to cook. So that's a fun, that's a, like a way to relax as well as sit down and like make, you know, pot roast or something. And my mom is the better cook. I have her recipes somewhere and I need to get better at making. My brother,
you're always a good cooker.
Yeah. My brother actually is the best cook in the family.
Really?
He's the best cook. He's the one who doesn't need to, he doesn't.
Me neither. I'm more the freestyle cook. Taste, fry and combine and yeah.
He's like that. He just doesn't. He just goes. He's like, takes whatever's in the fridge and makes something.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet.
I like that.
Yeah. But that's my brother's the good one. What? Yeah, I think that's. And then working out. That's another thing. That keeps me physically active when we're not filming. That
helps. Yeah. Yeah. What are you doing when you have, let's say, 7 days shooting? Is this for you 7 days being in this role day and night, or can you switch off the role when you're coming back home after shooting day?
Like for some other people, they think they can do it. I have to not be that person when we're not filming. Like, I have to be me in between, which is allows me to not burn out. But also, the nice part about filming these is that they are all, I think they're all consuming. Like, all of my day is spent making the thing. And then I come home and I have like an hour to myself, maybe, where I'll eat and do my line and watch some TV at the line and go to bed and do the next thing. That worked. That works for me. Yeah. You know, I like them because if it's 7 days shooting, I'm 7 days where I'm just shooting. I'm not thinking about anything else. Like, I'm not on my phone as much. I'm not doing things that are bad for me. I'm just focused on filming.
What was hard for you to play in Vertical? Because it's not so typical, your character or stuff like that. What challenge did you do?
It was supposed to be sort of a comedy, and it was called Painting a Fussy Billionaire or something like that. I was supposed to play a character who was very, very weak. He was very, like, physically weak because he didn't eat much. He was not eating. And that was a really challenging acting thing to do because it was really, I had to actually be acting. I'm not physically weak. I've not been that. One thing that dance has always given me is a good relationship, discipline, a healthy body, a sort of, I think vigor is the sort of word. So now I'm playing a character who, like, 24/7 is like struggling to get out of bed. And so that was challenging because I was like, I'm robust. Like, I'm ready to go. And I had to not be. So that was a little bit different. But everything else has been kind of not easy. But that one was the hardest one, I think.
Was it the hardest role that catched you ever mentally?
Mentally, it wasn't that challenging. You know, mentally, it was just keeping track of this physical body that was not mine. You know, that was like you'd do something and be like, oh, sorry, we should do that again. I was a little bit too, you know, up and at him. It's like, oh, I tone it down, you know, like stay in this physical body that wasn't mine. That was maybe and I guess that was a mental challenge because you have to kind of keep it in the back of your head always as well, the character. So that was weird.
What do you like most about the Vertical stuff?
What do I like most?
Yeah.
That's hard to say. I mean, one thing that's been fabulous is because I've done so many of them in a short amount of time, I've met a lot of people. Like, I've met a ton of people in a year because of how many different productions I worked on. You just meet so many different people. So I don't know. Maybe that would say what I like the most about them. That might be it, because they are a whole lot of other things. But one thing that's awesome is there's a great community of people who are into and working on it.
Do you miss something about in the Vertical world? You know, it's all paced and very short timed. Did you ever get the time to process what happens in the week of shooting, or is it kind of job, you are totally focused on the job and after a week it's done and you can cut it off and go on? Or is there anything that stays for a few more days to getting out?
Not really. The thing that I found is really strange is, like, because you are so engrossed with the other people that you have around you making this thing all day, every day. I mean, it's 12 hours minimum a day. Sometimes I got one, I think I did a 7 or 8 day shoot recently. I had one day where I finished like 2 hours early. All the other time, it's like you have a full day. It happens there's so much going on and it happens so fast that actually by the time I'm done, I kind of don't always remember everything that happened all the time. It feels like a bit of a blur. And the next day after I've wrapped, is so quiet in comparison, because from the minute you get on set, you aren't alone. The only time you're alone is when you're changing. And then the day after, you go home and, like, you're alone and it feels like you're more alone because you've been surrounded by people for 12 hours a day, every day. So
yeah, like
2 days after I'm done. it's bad for me. I go home and it's really quiet and I'm like,
hello?
Yeah, like, oh. So I think I need to start planning, you know, some sort of trip or gathering or something like that after we're done so that I can be resting but also be around people, because it's a little bit weird. The world feels very quiet all of a sudden.
What improvement you want to see in the vertical area? What do you think would be good?
I mean, I would like the stories that they tell to have more nuance, because they are, you know, they operate in tropes and in stereotypes, and I think it would it only hurts. It's not maybe necessarily, well, it's harmful in some ways, but we just need to write stories of more nuance. The audience isn't, you know, they can handle a complex story and characters that aren't just, oh, the bad guy, or, oh, the good guy. Like, we can do more with that, and the writing can be more intricate, I believe. And I would like to see that.
So would for you, recently a lot of sportive verticals came up. Would it be the perfect match for you to do ballet vertical? To combine these two worlds?
Maybe. It would be interesting. Someone would have to write it. Someone would have to write something into that. And then whoever was producing it would have to imagine me without a suit on. As I've always been in a suit, and I've only been up for maybe one or two of these verticals that have sports involved. And I love sports and I'm still very athletic, and they cannot picture me in like a jersey or in, you know, pads and a football helmet. They like, oh, he wears a suit. That's it. I've never been asked to do any of those. And the dance one, I mean, it would be interesting to do something that would involve dance, but I don't see anybody. I've seen maybe one or two where they're looking to make it, but it would be a good marriage. It'd be a good match. I don't know. Someone's got to write it.
Yeah, maybe it's already written.
Maybe. I hope so. I hope there's enough people that know that I have a dance background that maybe they'll get.
Hopefully. So you shoot in LA and in Atlanta. Did you went everywhere? Did you go anywhere else for shooting?
Yeah, I've shot in New Jersey as well as I went to China for one.
Went to China, really? How was it in China, the origin country of verticals?
I mean, they work very differently than we do. Their work schedules are brutal. You know, they'll work for much longer hours, and the crew is, they're incredible, but they are working. They're going to work a 14-hour day. And that's if we don't go overtime. I mean, they are, the hard work does not describe how hard they really work to make these. It's fun because you get, the scale is bigger when you're in China. It is this, like, we shut down hotels and we had these giant sets, and I mean, things were, it was cool to film, but the schedules are harder, and they are, there's less protections that we're sort of accustomed to in the United States. And so if you need something, you have to kind of really, really be your own advocate and really voice what you need. You have to tell them what you need. If you are cold and you're standing in the freezing rain, you've got to advocate for yourself, because they won't do it for you. They take a little bit less care of you as an actor than they do here.
Okay. So what about shooting in Europe? A lot of Europe areas pop up lately for shooting.
Yeah. I would love to. I think that would be awesome. I've heard of friends that have gone to Turkey, I think, is one of the places.
Yeah, Istanbul is a lot of shooting.
I would love to. I hear it's great. I mean, I have much more experience being in Europe, as we talked about earlier, and you know, I living in Salzburg and traveling to Italy and all over. I would love that. That would be great.
When you lived in Austria for 1 year, did you learn German?
I learned a little bit, but again, that was like a decade ago. So I haven't kept up with my German at all. I know.
Bad. So if I can fulfill you a wish, and vertical, what was it? Would your wish be?
You know, it would be that we could get the time, enough time to really put more effort into making these things as good as they can be, because I know that they are, there's so much potential in these verticals, and we just need a little bit more time most of the time to make these things as good as we possibly can.
What do you think is possible?
Anything. That's the great, that's the best part about these verticals. There is like, is it just movie, you know, TV in general, like there is, the possibilities are endless. We can do all kinds of stuff if we just have the time and the money. And there's plenty of money with these verticals.
Money. Plenty of money. It's all about the money. Yeah, I know. At the end of every episode, I'm doing a 5-question quickie.
Okay.
So, first question, what's your favorite dish at the moment?
Oh, favorite dish at the moment. I mean, I've really been obsessed with some like steak tacos, to be honest. Steak tacos and some guacamole.
Tacos. We don't eat much tacos here.
You don't have them over there, no. I didn't have a single taco the year I was in Austria. I made my own.
No, I'm thinking about it, and to be honest, I couldn't tell you any restaurant here where you can get tacos.
I think you really like.
What's so special about tacos?
They're delicious. This good steak is spicy. It's got good like flavor. That's what you need.
That makes you happy. Good tacos.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite dishes. Yeah, and guacamole.
Can you do by yourself good tacos?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And that's when I learned during the pandemic. I was like, okay, I'm gonna learn how to make my.
So you're a taco master now or what?
I don't say if I would say master, but I know how to make them the way that I like them. That's what matters.
Yeah, that's most important.
Yeah.
I know how to make it. That's good. What's your favorite film at the moment to watch? What do you like to watch in film?
Oh my God. I honestly, you know what I think? I went back and watched a bunch of times with Moneyball.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever saw that? Baseball. And I don't really love baseball particularly. But that movie, Brad Pitt, Jonah Hill, there's something about that movie that was like I like movies like that. I like Christopher Nolan's movies quite a lot, David Fincher's movies. They're not as fast paced, but that slow kind of continuous driving, these narratives, like they're built so well.
Mm-hmm.
And I like so far. So Moneyball for some reason. I watched it like twice in the past month for some reason.
And what's your favorite song? What puts you in a good mood? Music.
Right now, country music, I think. I listen to a good amount of country music. It reminds me of home.
You're homesick?
Not really homesick. Departed thing. It's something I grew up not liking. And now I'm an adult.
it's the same with some stuff of food. As child, you always say, no, I don't like it. But when you get asked, why don't you like it? You can give an answer because I don't like it.
That's definitely the thing that exactly that, because I was surrounded by it as a kid. Adult, like, that's one of my favorite things.
Yeah. And what's your favorite vertical you've done so far? If I'm asking you now, I don't know you. I want to watch a vertical with you in it. What would you give me as an advice to watch?
Well, my two favorite, one was one of my really, really early ones. That was my favorite accidental surrogate for my Captain X. That was my favorite for the type weird, because I was a pilot. So I got to be in these set pieces that were like, I was literally in cockpits and in planes and things. And I thought that was really cool. But the people that were there were lovely. I had a great experience with the crew and with the director and with my other actors. So I love that one because of the people. But the one that I like, if you wanted to see like me in a version of me that I think I really is a good foot forward, it hasn't come out yet. One that I did for, yeah, I know. It's for, well, I think Flare Flow was the company. So I filmed in Jersey. I filmed with.
Do you know when it will drop?
Okay. I don't know when it will drop. It was about a month ago. So it's probably still got a few, you know, a couple weeks probably before it comes out at the earliest. And I don't know what they're going to change the name to. When it comes out, I'll put it up. I'll advertise it like that. But
Oh,
it's, I'm excited for it to come out because the director and I had a great relationship. Shanna and I had a really great relationship. So I'm excited about that. I had a lot of fun with that one.
That's good. Last question. What genre you want to see more in verticals on you?
What? Again, what?
What genre?
Genre? Oh, I'd love to see them do some horror stuff. I think that'd be really fun.
To watch or to play?
Well, to play. I don't know how people feel to watch, but I would like.
Yeah, but then you are also a mean guy, I think.
Yeah, probably.
You like that.
I got to embrace it. I have to embrace them.
You like that, do you?
If they're going to keep calling me about it, I'm probably going to have to get used to it.
You like being mean. I see.
Then I can be nice in real life.
Really?
And get it all out on camera and be nice in real life.
That's good. We'll see. Okay, so you weren't being mean to me, so I'm happy about that. Now, I don't know how it will be in the future, but till now, you haven't been mean to me, so I'm totally fine. And it couldn't get any better, so I think we should stop this recording because otherwise there is a risk that we get annoyed. Are you threatening me? Okay, that's fine. So we're totally fine with that. I say thank you very much for your time. And it was really nice talking to you. And I'm not sure about if your minion is coming out or not, but I'm fine with that for now. And hope you tell me when your new show drops.
I will absolutely do it. Things will all go up on Instagram. Hopefully before they'll send me some promotional materials and I'll be able to promote it.
Do you read your reviews?
Really?
Okay.
But
no, because sometimes the reviews are faster than the actors know that the show drops. That's yeah. Yeah. So thank you very much. And lovely greetings to Atlanta. And I wish you a great week ahead.
Right. Hopefully I'll see you again soon.
Bye. This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.